This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you'd like to contact me again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down. You can re-listen to my program on the website. You can read the weekly meditation there. If you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, I'll need your name and address so that I can send it on to them. And again, I would place you on the email list for the meditations if you would like to be placed on that. So you might need a pencil and a piece of paper to write my website and mailing address down at the close of the program. Today we're going back to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 37. That's where we left off last time. If you remember, last time we spent our time thinking about a demon who knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. And we were remarking that many people today don't know who Jesus of Nazareth is, and yet the demons seem to know. The demons cannot be saved, but we can be saved. And it's something that we need to be concerned about, because there are a lot of people today who have never read their Bibles, who believe that Jesus is a myth, who believe that there is a God, a creator God. Many do not, but many believe there's a creator God, but they don't believe that there is any particular way to get to him. Everybody finds him their own way. Every religion is just as good as any other. But we can see that any religion that deals with demons and that worships demons and that worships idols is not a worship that will take you to heaven, because the idols, the demons cannot be saved, and the demons have rejected God. Apparently, sometime in the past, they fell with Satan when he rebelled, and so even though they are well aware of who the Lord Jesus is, they know they are defeated. And when we believe the lies of Satan, and when we believe the things that Satan would use to keep us from coming to Christ, we're taking our stand with the demons, who not only cannot be saved, but who will one day be part of our company in that eternal place of burnings away from the Lord forever and ever, a place of deep sorrow when those who end up there realize that they could have been saved and weren't. So the whole purpose of this program is to help us understand what the demon understood, but to go further than that and help you to trust in the Lord that this demon knew about and that we need to know about. Now, I know many of you listening to my voice are saved, that you have come to a point where you've passed from death into life. But many listening to me today really know all about the Lord Jesus, just like the demon did. But to know the Lord Jesus himself and to trust him and to have complete confidence that when he died at the cross, he died for our sins, that's something that you really have never experienced. And I know that. And so the only thing standing between you and that assurance of salvation that we talk about is admitting that God is right wherever you're arguing with him and that you are wrong, and just taking God at his word, recognizing that as sinners we need a Savior. And that's what the Lord was trying to do as he preached in these synagogues in this area around Galilee. We read in chapter 4, verse 37, and the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. People heard that he had done something miraculous here in the casting out of this demon, and they didn't seem to doubt that he had great power. And he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. That's Peter's house. Now Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served him. There was no doubt that here he was the great physician, and he was able to rebuke a fever and heal this woman. We know that sickness is associated with sin. It doesn't mean that the people who are sick have committed a specific sin that has caused them to be sick, although sometimes that's the case, particularly where the sickness is associated with a bad lifestyle, maybe with drinking or drugs or something like that. But many people get sick with cancer, with flu, with typhoid, with malaria, and they're not It's not because they specifically have sin, but it's because sin is in the world that we have these diseases. The earth is under a curse, and so we have these diseases, and the Lord was proving his ability to undo what Satan had started back in the Garden of Eden. So he stood there and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. And when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid their hands on every one of them and healed them. Notice everyone that he laid his hands on were healed. There was none of this business of saying that we have the power to heal and seeing some helped and some not helped. He healed them all. He proved that he was the God who had the power of creation in his hands. He had the power of life in his hands, physical life in his hands. And so people were listening to him. And demons also came out of many, crying and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Again, the demons were more knowledgeable than many people in the world today, and many that hear the word of God reject it. These people knew that this man was the Christ and that he was doing the work of God. They knew that. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, the synagogues, of course, were the places where during the dispersion, where the Jews taught the law to their children and to the Jewish people. The temple was only in Jerusalem, and that was really where God was supposed to be worshipped in a particular way. But the synagogues sprung up in the regions where the Jews were dispersed when they had rebelled against God during the Kingdom Age, and when they turned away from God and were dispersed first into Assyria and then into Babylon. And some had come back to Israel or to Jerusalem at this time, but still they had synagogues as places where they could teach the people. So they were places where the Jews congregated, and it was to the Jewish people that the Lord first preached the kingdom of God. He came unto his own, John 1 says, and his own received him not. And so he came unto his own, he went into these Jewish synagogues, and he preached to these people, and he preached to them the kingdom of God. The Jewish people were looking for a kingdom to come. How were they going to recognize when the kingdom came? Well, they had their eye on a Messiah that was supposed to come, and every damsel, every virgin in Israel would like to have been the mother of the Messiah. Well, Mary had been chosen to be that mother, and now 30 years later, her son is going out and presenting himself to Israel, and he's saying, "I'm the one. I am the one that fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. And see, I can prove I'm the one because I have the power to cast out demons. I have more power than Satan. I have power to cast out illness and sickness. I have power to overcome the curse that started in the Garden of Eden. I am the one with creatorial power." And he healed the sick, and it was all with a purpose to convince the Jewish nation that he was, in fact, their Messiah. Now, if we had somebody who could heal like the Lord could heal, if we had somebody who could cast out demons like the Lord could cast out demons today, people would still be flocking to him. I know that there are many people who claim to have the power of healing, and I know that they quote Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we are healed, and they say that physical healing is something we can get through Christ. And I know that when we are healed, whether it be from the flu or from cancer or from anything else, even though the doctors may be used, the power that allows us to be healed comes from God, and God himself uses doctors to heal us. And oftentimes we get cold and flu and we're healed from that. Well, the only reason our bodies can regenerate is because of the of the creatorial power of God, and because He's given us a body that can overcome these illnesses. It doesn't always do that, but it can. But when the Lord healed, He personally had the power to heal. Today, there is power to heal us, but it's not in people. It's still in God, and here it was in God as well. People today will stand up and say they're healing people, but in some cases, they're outright frauds, and I hate to say that, but that's been proven, and in some cases, they have the power to heal, but they can't heal everyone, and we have found that there are people that have the power to heal that have no claim to a religious affiliation or a confidence in God. And they still have that ability. And yes, I know some in my own area who can heal, but they don't heal based on any particular power that God has given them. It's just something they grew up with. And I don't think they can heal everybody, and I don't think they can heal everything, but they can help a lot of people. They call it faith healing, but it's really not faith healing. I don't know what it is, but the Lord was different. He had the power to heal everyone that He wanted to heal. He had the power to cast out every demon that He wanted to cast out, and the Jews, through that, should have believed that this was their Messiah. We know that, and I've quoted this often, that a Gentile seeks after wisdom or logic. They have to understand the gospel. It has to make sense to them. But a Jew needs a sign. And God was giving them sign after sign that the kingdom of God had come because He was the king. He was the one they were looking for. And not only did He have the power to save them physically, He had the power to save them spiritually. And of course, that power was going to come through the cross. And the Lord was the one who, as their Messiah, was going to be rejected. It was the case that the Jews were not going to be able to understand and receive their Messiah because they were blind. Blindness had hardened their heart. And so they turned their back on their Messiah and crucified Him. But that crucifixion was the very means that God used to offer them salvation. And folks, even today, the Jews and the Gentiles and all nations of the earth are being offered salvation because the Lord, as the King, proved Himself to be the Son of God through these miracles that He did. And then He went to the cross and died for our sins. And now He says, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will may come. Friend, do you have the desire to know the Lord and to be saved? If you do, then trust in His word. Believe that this one who cast out demons, this one who was able to heal the sick, that this one was the one who had the right to die for our sins at the cross of Calvary because He was sinless, and this one has the power to save us today. But the key is that we have to trust Him. Friend, if you've never trusted Him, you're not saved. And if you have trusted Him, you can be sure that you're saved for eternity. You'll never perish. Thanks be to God. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We pray that those who are listening will be attracted to this Savior, this one who proved Himself to be the Son of God and then died for our sins. Help them to rest in the finished work of the cross and be saved. We ask for Thy mercies. Pray for blessing upon our audience in our Savior's name. Amen. Now our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.